Other than that, it's good to have everybody, and we're really looking forward to this morning. And so I ask you just to kind of open your ears and eyes to what you're about to, what you're going to see and what you're going to hear, what God is up to in our neighborhoods and what God is doing around us. And hopefully, as I talked last week, that something will begin to stir in you to say, I could help with that. I could do that. I could participate in that. I've always looked for something to do. Those kind of things. And so that's kind of my hope for the next four Sundays. So let's say a prayer. Father, we thank you for this morning and this time, and we pray a special blessing on this. And Lord, I pray that our hearts and our minds are open to your Spirit, Lord. And may your Spirit speak to us, and may your Spirit transform us more into your likeness. Lord, for the things we're going to hear, for the words that William will present to us here in a few minutes about Main Street, for the things we'll see about Journey to Dream, and Lord, we pray that you be with Nisa and that her body is healed from how she feels right now. Lord, that the things we see from Christ Haven, Lord, we pray that our eyes are opened to what you're doing around us and what you've called us to be in this world. Lord, we pray just that you watch over us. In your Son's holy name we pray. Amen. So as I set this up, I want you to open up your Bibles. I'm not going to have the words up. I want you to open your Bibles to Acts 3. I know it's a little different. Normally we just have it up here, but I want you to open to Acts 3. And I just want you, as we hear, as we see the videos, as we talk about what's going on around us, I want you to kind of think about what's happening in Acts 3, verses 1 through 9. And here's what the Word of the Lord says. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And a man lame from birth was being carried in. People would lay him daily at the gate of the temple called the Beautiful Gate so that he could ask for alms from those entering the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked them for alms. Peter looked intently at him, as did John, and said, "Look at us." And he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, "I have no silver or gold, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, stand up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and raised him up, and immediately his feet and his ankles were made strong. Jumping up, he stood and began to walk, and he entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. All the people saw him walking and praising God, and they recognized him as the one who used to sit and ask for alms at the Beautiful Gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. A couple of things here. As we enter in, as we move into the narrative of Acts, we notice this moment after Acts 2, and Peter and John are walking, and they see this guy, and as Luke tells us in Acts, this has probably been a daily ritual for this guy. You know, he's come, sat there, and you can imagine how many people just walked by him and never paid attention to him. And in fact, he got used to being there so much, they just looked past him and beyond him, not helping him. And he sat there every day until Peter and John come by. And this is the thing. Acts 2 happened, Pentecost, Jesus has happened, and for Peter and John, we notice something. They see the man, and everything changes. They don't see past the man. They see the man. And the man sees him, and they say, "Look at us," and their eyes meet, and something in that moment happens. A change happens. What most people hadn't seen is maybe a person who wasn't human. You know, you get to that point where you can see beyond people because of where they're at and what they're asking for, and you may have thoughts in your head about what they should be doing. And Peter and John say, "We see you. And Jesus can do something about you." And it's interesting is Jesus not only heals the man, but at the end of that text, did you notice in verse 10 where it said, those around him begin to recognize him. All of a sudden, they saw him as a person, human. Sometimes we need moments in life in which people remind us, moments, experiences remind us that we look a lot of times beyond people in their circumstances. And Jesus has a way of hopefully reorienting us back to seeing people as people, fully human. that Jesus wants to make all of us, not only the person who's crippled, but Peter and John as well, and the people at the synagogue. Different, see differently. We're called to be that kind of people. Sometimes in our years, in our life, and in how the year, whatever is thrown at us, we tend to forget that sometimes. And so I'm hoping over the next 4 weeks, these will be moments in which we start seeing again, seeing the power that is in Jesus to make people fully human. And that power, as I told you last week, resides in you. You have power in you to restore people. And we're going to hear over the next few minutes organizations and groups who are maybe helping us see that, who are trying to restore people, to not brush them aside or ignore them. Maybe things we've done, homeless teens, how we don't really pay attention a lot of time or even think about that. People on the streets that we just kind of drive by. And even those teens who don't have homes, but there's places that are making homes for them. And how they're human too. And that we can see them. And that's the power that God's given us. And so here, for the next about 3.5 minutes, I want us to talk about I want us to look at this first organization that we partner with and our mission team partners with, which is Christ Haven. And so we're gonna see what Christ Haven is doing for the community around us. So pay attention to this.
Welcome to Christ Haven for Children. We are so excited to show you around one of our cottage sound rooms today. Christ Haven was started over 65 years ago in Keller, Texas, and we have stayed true to our family-style motto. When you drive onto our campus, it looks like a neighborhood. It feels like a family because that's what we are. In each one of our cottages, we have 2 house parents who care for up to 8 children as a family unit. One thing that's really unique about Christ Haven for Children that most people don't know is that we're a voluntary placement children's home. That means parents can bring their children to us when their parental rights are still intact. So whether they're facing a difficult financial situation, a loved one is trying to care for children that they can't any longer, or mom and dad just need to place their children somewhere stable for any length of time, that's how our kids come to us. We're going to start in the heart of our home in one of our kitchens with April, an amazing house parent, and she's going to tell us a little bit what it's like to have a typical day at Christ Haven.
Well, we manage a family of 10, so we do all the normal things and normal family. They go to school, we do homework, we do basketball, we enjoy all their activities like band, and we have dinner together and we play like roses and thorns. Can I ask them about their day and see how it went? Okay, this is the living room, and we're going to have more family activities in here. We'll do homework, we'll watch family movies, we'll do Bible studies, just a place for the family and 10 to all get together and sit around and talk to each other.
In all of our cottages, we have space for up to 8 children. They can share a room like the one that you see here, but the most important thing is that these rooms reflect them. We work hard to make sure that they have things that they like, hobbies, colors, bedding that feels comfortable, all trying to create a space where they feel loved, nurtured, safe, and stable, but most importantly, that they feel a part of a natural family. Here we are in another one of our bedrooms in our cottage. Another question that's often asked for us is where our kids go to school. And all of our children participate in Keller ISD. They're in band, they run track, they go to dance, they participate in football, anything that's interesting to them. One question that's often asked to us when we do tours is how long kids stay with us. And the truth is, we're here for families as long as they need us. Whether that's 6 months or 16 years, we provide a stable environment for as long as their families need us. Another thing people always want to know is how our house parents keep up with all this laundry. And the truth is, we operate just like your family. All of our kids have chores, responsibilities in the house to make sure that our houses can run as smoothly as possible. Thank you for spending time with us today. We hope you learned something about Christ Haven for Children. Our mission is to continue to serve as a loving, stable home environment focused on normalcy and dignity for all the children in our care.
So we've been partnering with Christ Haven for, since I've been here, almost 14 years. And how we have been doing that has been by your amazing donations to the food pantry. So generally when we get it once a quarter, Angela will put that out. And before COVID, we would have this entire place completely full of food. And we would basically, you would fill the pantry for them for the quarter. And so these families would go to the pantry, and this is how they would feed. You can imagine, I mean, you know, I've got a five-year-old, and he's already eating me out of house and home. Imagine having teenage boys. And so that's what we've been kind of, we've been partnering with them to do, is help do that. And since COVID, we've been, your generous donations have allowed us to continue doing that. Your donations of money has allowed us to give them those funds every quarter so that they're able to go get the food and so that they're able to feed their families who are there. And I don't want you to miss this one thing, and I hope you heard it. It's this idea of giving kids a normal life. Just a normal life. We don't think about that a lot. We don't think about kids. We think about our kids and giving them a normal life. And sometimes we push and miss past some of those kids in our kids' high schools who don't have a normal life like us. And so Christ Haven is trying to do that. And that's how I think one way in which I think they're causing us to begin to notice beyond just our four walls and our kids. And so we partner with Christ Haven. We also partner with Journey to Dream. Journey to Dream is a partnership that we've had in the last 4 years or so. Journey to Dream opened our eyes to something that many of us never thought was possible because of how we grow up, because of how we see the world. Journey to Dream showed us not only they showed us teenagers, but they showed us homeless teenagers. And that's a hard one when you think about it. We don't normally think about teenagers as being homeless. We think of adults as being homeless. We don't think of 15, 16, 17, and 18-year-olds living out of a car or taking their backpack to school like our kids do, but everything in their life is in their backpack. Imagine that, all their toiletries, change of clothes, everything in that one backpack. A couple of things to know about what Journey to Dream is doing is this, and they have it up here, but I didn't know if you know this, but Texas has almost 16,000 homeless teenagers at any point. And around this area, we're talking a couple thousand, 3,000 homeless teenagers just in this area. 3,000 homeless teenagers, folks, is enough to fill one of your high schools. That's a high school full of kids who don't have anywhere to go. And Journey to Dream opened us up to this and said, this is a problem. And so 57% of homeless kids spend at least one day every month without food. Food insecurity is becoming a big problem since COVID happened. And now we have over half of our teenagers, half of our homeless kids who are spending at least one day without food. Within 48 hours of being homeless, a teen is forced into prostitution by human trafficking networks. Think about that. As we think about our kids, within 48 hours of a kid being by themselves on the streets, they're forced into prostitution. 80% of homeless teens between 14 and 18 use drugs or alcohol as a means of self-medication. Almost 40% of those homeless in North Texas are under 18. And so this is what Journey to Dream has said. The average cost to house a teen in a shelter is $109 a day. And Journey to Dream showed up and said, we want to try to combat this in our area, in just this area, which is a fairly significant amount of students and those who are homeless. And I would almost bet that one of your teenagers has probably been in a classroom with somebody as they're hearing stories of everything they did for the weekend, who's just happy to be there on Monday because they survived. They didn't have the same stories as our kids do. And so this is what Journey to Dream is doing. This is where your donations, this is where this partnership has led us to. In the last year or so, three residents have earned their high school diploma. That's a big deal, folks. High school diploma. Two residents have enrolled in college. Four teens have been reunited with families. Three teens adopted into forever homes. 5,300 warm and safe nights of sleep provided for homeless teens. 6,200 meals, I like how they call yummy meals, meals served to teens in our shelter. 8,300 hours of trauma counseling provided to our teens. You can imagine the kind of trauma these kids go through. I see Ben right here, a counselor, and I know that he knows about this. The amount of just trauma these kids go through and what they have to deal with. The fact that Journey and Dream not only feeds them and houses them, but also lets them have a safe space to tell them what's going on. 5,300 hours of transportation services are provided to teens. And this Kyle's Place, which they had built so that they could house these homeless teenagers, they've renovated it also to add counseling rooms as well. Journey to Dream has done this and has opened our eyes to the fact not only that there are homeless in our areas, we'll talk about the coat drive has opened our eyes too, but Journey to Dream has opened our eyes to the fact that we have looked past and missed the issues of our teenagers for so long. That we've seen them on a daily basis and looked past them. And Journey to Dream said, stop. God wants to restore them too. And they're beginning to do the restoration process. And it's because of y'all's donations. It's because of Sharon Parker and Julie Davenport and others who said, hey, this is a really cool partnership that we can have with a group really close. And we can help teens out. And so because of that, there's this good news happening. And so I want you to... That's another partnership that we're having, another way that our congregation's eyes have been opened to what's going on around us. And this third way, and William's here, and he's going to speak to it, is our partnership with Main Street, which has been going on for quite a long time. And it's been a fruitful and a beautiful partnership that we've had with them. And I'm looking forward to hearing from William, so I'm not going to talk anymore. I didn't think I was going to talk this much in the first place. So we're going to have William come up and speak about what's going on. There you go, my friend.
Okay. Well, thank you, Russell, and I really appreciate your words that you said earlier. The scripture, how fitting that is as we think about missions and we think about those who are forgotten by society. It is my great privilege and honor to be associated with the Main Street Church of Christ. We're a small inner city congregation in the heart of East Dallas. For the past 25 years, we've had the opportunity to provide food and clothing and hygiene to a large homeless population in our community. And in the front of our building, it's kind of like our motto, we have a sign that says, Lost Sheep Welcome. And it's amazing how the Holy Spirit has impressed those words upon many wandering lost sheep, and He's led them to come inside of our building, and we've been able to provide for them both physically and spiritually. And I really believe that the Lord has taught me. I've been there for about 5 years, and I didn't come from that type of neighborhood, and I never thought that I would be a part of a ministry like this, but I believe that He's really just shown me so clearly that the single greatest need in our community is that of a spiritual need. And so for the past 3 years or so, we've had a Bible study that we meet Tuesday through Friday. We're able to cook a nice meal. And that just means the world for someone who's been walking around for miles and has been beaten down by the elements, and they're cold or they're hot and they're hungry, for them to come in and to eat a meal that's prepared with love, a nice hearty meal, and then also to study the Word of God. We'll take a chapter and we'll just study together. And it's amazing how those who are homeless, the devil, he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And he robs those on the streets of all of their sense of dignity, all of their hope, all of what they might think about future opportunities. And as we open God's Word and as we break down what is being said, it's amazing to see the power of God's Word give hope and speak hope into the midst of hopelessness. And I've got two special individuals here this morning, and I could, talk about many different things, but it's nice to just see firsthand the power of God's Word. And I'd like for Eric Drauman to come up first. Eric is someone who has suffered with homelessness, and he's been working for the past 2 years, and he's recently started a scooter ministry where he's taking his scooter around to some of the darkest corners in our neighborhood and just witnessing and inviting people to church and sharing God's love. And so I am incredibly inspired in all that God's doing in Eric's life. Can you tell us just a little bit about that ministry that you started?
Well, the scooter ministry was, I have a scooter, and, I like to share the Word of God with people, and especially those like myself that find themselves, for whatever reason, in circumstances such as homelessness or drug addiction and things of this nature. What I wanted to share with you guys this morning was just say thank you. Because I'm a recipient of the mission in East Dallas, and I'm not much of a public speaker. My ministry is more one-on-one with people, so forgive me. But, a couple years ago, I was going to the mission to eat and to get hygiene. So the dollars that all of you as a body have sent our way, it has a lasting impact. I was going there for that purpose, but then I would stay for the Bible study. And we had a study one morning, 1 John, the book of 1 John, and I don't know, I got really convicted. 1 John 3:6 says, a man who's come to know God, he doesn't continue to sin. And it kind of hit me like a ton of bricks because I had come up in a different philosophy. I had been taught once saved, always saved, and that kind of allowed me to continue in my sin, thinking I was going to heaven when I died. But the power... the power of God, it wouldn't manifest because I believed that I was going to heaven. But when I read that, I just got hit like a brick and realized I wasn't saved. It had scared me to death. And something happened there that changed my life. It's a special place down there in East Dallas. God is there. And over the past couple of years, we've had a lot of fun. I'm having a hard time talking. I wasn't prepared for this. Picked the wrong day to wear a shirt that's a button. But in any event, thank you guys so much because... there are things happening down there that have a lasting impact on people's lives. I'm just one of the lucky ones. And, so I'm going to quit making a fool of myself and just thank you guys for everything that you do and know that it has a lasting impact. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you so much, Eric, and he is a hero of mine and such an inspiration. If you want encouragement, spend time around him. He's just so, has a desire to serve God with all of his heart. The next individual, I'd like Christiana Johnson to come up and just share a minute with us. She's another one of my heroes, and I think I've seen since I've been at Main Street that it would be so easy for each one of us to be homeless. And Christiana, she had a new car, she had a nice place to live, and a series of catastrophic events, kind of like the book of Job, all came down in a whirlwind upon her life, and she wound up homeless right down the street from the Main Street Church of Christ, and the Lord led her into our church and just totally transformed her life. And Christiana, would you like to share a little bit about what our church means to you and what you're doing now?
Hello, everyone. Good morning. My name is Christiana Johnson, and I love being an example of what trusting and obeying in God truly is about, to especially my neighbors, the people that come up to the church just to get a bite to eat. I can let them know that God loves them no matter what, no matter what they've been through, that God still loves them no matter what. And I know for me, God has changed my life in so many areas that I love being an example of what God can do in a person's life. That we can be bold and say, yes, God in Jesus is alive today. And we can show them that love with kindness, with a little compassion, and just listening to their problems. And I know with William has touched my life in so many areas that it's indescribably wonderful to know that people really do care. And I'm not a public speaker either, so I'm going to hand the microphone back to William.
Well, I think Christiana and Eric, and I kind of put them on the spot a little bit last minute, so they did an excellent job. And I think as you see these two individuals, they're representations of many others who God has sent our way and just transformed their life through the power of the gospel. And, you know, I believe with all my heart the importance of keeping those doors open so we can continue to bring people in. And from the bottom of my heart, on behalf of the Main Street Church of Christ, we are so incredibly grateful for this special partnership that we share and the many years of service and volunteer work and bringing food and socks and coats and the different things that y'all give to us. It allows us to have those opportunities to proclaim God's word in the darkness of East Dallas and to save souls. And also, if you're interested to learn more about our ministry, you can go to mainstreet-church.org. We have a brand new website, and we're continuing to add things to that on a weekly basis. And you can learn more. And we're hoping to have some different stories and testimonies and talk about some of the things that we're, you know, wanting to do in the future. It's an exciting time to be at the Main Street Church of Christ. We've got some building renovation projects and different things that we're hoping to tackle in the very near future. But once again, thank you so much for your support and all that the Grapevine congregation does for the Main Street Church. Thank you.
I really can't follow that. So I'm gonna close it with, I hope you heard this idea of just the Lord leading and you realizing that God has put you in so many places so that you can love and be kindness and listen. And I love the just simple words of, I had a scooter. So God called me to do something. And I appreciate that. Thank you. And so hopefully, and hopefully this week that you'll, this opens us up more to God, what we can do, how else we can be partners. And I'm incredibly thankful for Sharon and her work and Paige and her work as she's is kind of the liaison with Main Street. And Sharon Hood and as she liaisons with Christ Haven. I'm thankful for these individuals who at least we maintain that bond. And I'm thankful for the bond that we have with Main Street over the years. It has been a joy. And I look forward to continued stories and continued joy in this. Maybe this morning you feel a pulling. Maybe this morning you feel a pulling and you've realized God's noticing you. God's seeing you. You're feeling God's tug on your heart. You hear these stories. You hear what's going on. God's calling you deeper and further into relationship with Him. If you want to have conversations with us, if you have anything you'd like to talk about, come now as we stand and as we sing.